Hello, everyone. Welcome to the UFO Files. And this hour, we have a very interesting woman I want you to meet. She's from San Diego, Lisa Davis. We're broadcasting from Roswell, by the way, where we had a great time. We always do every year. And Lisa, have you been to Roswell before?
Yes, I have. Actually, this is my third time.
So, but you made it down to Carlsbad Caverns this time.
Right, yesterday.
And in fact, I was talking to Roberta Scott, our producer, and the fact is that, you know, you go to these conferences, you don't get to see anything because you're busy at the conference.
Right, right.
So you were probably wise to take a break.
Well, it was nice to take a break, yeah. And I've been wanting to see the caverns since I was a little girl, and it was beautiful. I'm glad I went and did it.
Well, you know, we talk about subterranean bases and things. You didn't run across one, did you?
No, not down there yesterday.
Okay.
But you could see how large the cavern is down there. You could just see how they could easily put something down there like that.
So, you know, a lot of people don't, there are all kinds of caves in New Mexico,
mm-hmm.
natural caverns in Arizona. And in fact, in Nevada, there's a huge lake. Part of Lake Mead's underwater. A lot of people don't realize
that.
No, I never
knew
that. It goes all the way back to state line.
Interesting.
Into California. And some people think the water may be as much as in Lake Mead itself. So these subterranean base ideas are not that foreign.
Right.
But let's talk. I was talking to Stephen Bassett, and he said you're going to have a great conference. And let's talk about this conference coming up in Hollywood.
All right.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, we're going to have the NUFOC conference, which is the National UFO Conference. It's been an annual event every year for about 42 years now. It was originally organized in 1964 by some gentlemen active in ufology in Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
And the permanent chairman now is Jim Mosley, and we've been working with Jim, and he's kind of in the background now, and he just has stepped back and allowed Dr. John Miller and I to take over this conference and make it the best that we can.
Well, now, you had an interesting story you were telling me about how you got involved in this conference. Actually started, I guess, as some sort of administrative help, and all of a sudden you hit it off well.
Right. Well, I had met Dr. Miller.
Mm-hmm.
I had met him a while ago and then had been reacquainted with him at the X conference. And he was just talking to me because we were all from L.A. and we were on the East Coast, so,
mm-hmm.
you know, we were kind of birds of a feather flocking together.
Yes.
And he was just telling me a few details about it, and he seemed a little overwhelmed with it. And I had just suggested that I could come and help him with a website, do some administrative work, some secretarial things. And we started working together, and I built the website, and we just realized we had great teamwork together. And so he asked me to co-chair it with him.
Right. Well, let's talk about this conference for a little bit. First
mm-hmm.
of all, the website, why don't we give that on the air
okay.
for our radio listeners? And we, of course, have a link to it here on the website at jerrypippin.com. What is the link?
The website is www.nufoc, which is NUFOC.org.
What does NUFOC stand for?
The National UFO Conference.
Well, that makes sense.
Yes,
very, very original. I like that.
Okay.
Yeah,
easy to understand.
Yeah, I comprehend for a change.
Good. And UFO right in the middle, so you mm-hmm. can't, you know, you can't question what it's about.
Now, you're having this at a great hotel. I haven't seen the hotel. I had an office there in that old that section when it was kind of run down back in the 70s. It was still Hollywood, but they've really renovated all of Hollywood Boulevard around.
Oh,
there,
right. The real estate there now is just golden.
And what is this hotel you're having this at?
All right. Well, we're having it at the Renaissance Hotel right there on the Hollywood and Highland Boulevard complex. And it's just a very stylish hotel. It's very upper scale, modern with some postmodern art in there, and it's just a really classy place.
How about people who want to attend the conference? How's the best way to get the best rate to get in there?
Well, the best rate would be to call and make a reservation, but ask for the NUFOC rate, because we have made a deal with the sales department of the hotel, and they've given us a great deal.
Okay.
So that's how they can do that.
So that's already in action. Now, I know this conference is just now coming together.
Right.
In fact, the flyer is fairly new, right? I mean, I've not seen that before.
It's hot off the press, actually.
Okay.
we just got this finished right before we came here, actually just a couple hours before we got here, we got them all finished. And, you know, it's just an overview. It's not the finished product by any means, but it gives you a general idea of where it is.
Now, you've already lined up some speakers and a very interesting lineup already,
right.
and you're getting ready to do some more, which we'll talk about in a moment.
Okay.
But why don't we tell our audience who's going to be there?
All right, well...
as of this moment.
Okay, as of this moment, we have Robert Salas. We've got Terry Hansen, who's a brilliant journalist. He's written a great book, The Missing Times. Of course, Dr. Robert Wood with the MJ-12 documents. Dr. Lynn Katai, which...
why don't you tell me about her?
Okay. She is a family physician in Phoenix, and she actually witnessed and wrote a book about the Phoenix Lights. And she claims that they weren't flares, and she saw them, documented it, and was so overtaken by it that she wrote a book about it. And the book is quite excellent.
Right. Well, maybe I look forward to having her on the air about that.
Right, yeah, we look forward to hearing her testimony. It should be very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've got, of course, Dr. John Greenwald. He's not a doctor, but...
Well, he should be. He's very intelligent.
That's true, he is, and charming. So we'll have John there. And...
John, do you hear that? Lisa said you're charming. Well, he is.
He sure is,
okay.
And he's a great guy. And then we've got Paul Davids, who's going to be doing the 10th year anniversary for his movie Roswell.
We were talking about Paul about that movie. They filmed most of it in 93, but it was released in 94, so that'd be 10 years.
It'd be 10 years, right. Mm-hmm. And he's going to have Don Schmidt coming out.
Oh, great.
To meet with him, and they're going to do a presentation on that. So that should be really exciting. I'm looking forward to seeing that.
Oh, that'll be very interesting. You know, speaking about that, Stephen Bassett was telling me he thought you guys were going to try to get the movers and shakers of Hollywood together to come to this.
Right.
I know you're just now working on that, but
right.
We may have a lot. This may be a star-studded affair. It should be. It's in Hollywood.
Well, it could be. Right. It's right in their backyard.
Mm-hmm.
So we're trying to promote this as something that they can come to, and an event that they can come to where they don't have to speak. They can just come and see it and hear the information and get involved just to whatever extent they are interested in. We had a brainstorming session last night. We were sitting at the table. It was Steve Bassett and David Serrata and John Greenwald and Rich Dolan and his wife Karen and I, and Ann Druffel was there. And we were just coming up with some names of who we thought in Hollywood would be interested in this information.
So you're looking for people who...
Have an interest.
They've made statements about it or whatever.
Right.
And made movies about it. And I think the ideal connection here, Lisa, is that if you could read the trades like Daily Variety, Hollywood Boulevard, and
mm-hmm.
catch up on who's making what. There may be a UFO-type movie or a paranormal movie being made at the time, and you might be able to make a tie-in there. They'd like to come to the conference.
Right. And also LA Weekly. And, the tie-in there is... You know, for the New Thought Conference, the biggest turnout that they had was, I believe it was 8,000 people.
Wow.
And they had that turnout in New York in 1967. And the reason they had it was because there was UFO sightings in the state of Michigan at that time. There was a big flap there. And so this was big news. People wanted to hear about what the UFO phenomenon is about. And New Thought was there at the time. So it was basically the right place at the right time.
Timing.
Timing.
Timing's everything.
Timing is everything. And so timing for us right now is very important also with the Mexico sightings. It's been all over the news.
Yes, it has.
It's been worldwide. It's people are wondering. People are questioning. They're not accepting the answers the government is giving anymore.
And
so this is really a great place for
mm-hmm.
people to come, the general public, just to come, just to hear these wonderful speakers give their presentations, tell people what they've learned.
Talking about timing, it's we better tell when it is. It's around Halloween, the 29th through 31st?
Yes, that's right, the 29th through the 31st.
Going to do any special thing on the 31st for Halloween?
I'm not sure yet. We would like to.
Yeah, you need to.
You know, I was thinking maybe the best alien costume or something like that.
Yeah, it might be something. Yeah, you need to do something there. If you need an MC for that, I don't have to wear a costume.
Oh.
I can, though, but...
I'd love to see you in Yeah, so we're still planning everything. It's very early on still, and we have some time, and we're going to try to do as much planning as possible and make it a great event.
Oh, I'm sure you will. I wanted to get to this conference, first of all, in the first part of the interview before we talk about anything else, basically because this could be a real big one.
I think so, and we're planning on keeping it in Hollywood from now on. We're going to keep it right there in their backyard, and, you know, Hollywood, it's just a very festive place, and,
yes.
And it's a nice destination
and
to
it's
come.
And it's a media center.
Exactly.
And so... I think you're on the right track there.
And it's just a stone's throw away from where I live, so it's very convenient for me.
You must live in North San Diego.
No, but I don't mind driving at all.
Okay.
So it's no problem.
Anyway, actually, it's not that far, and who knows, she may become a Hollywood resident. Next time we talk to Lisa Davis, she may be living there in the West L.A. or probably... Maybe Beverly Hills itself. You
oh,
never
goodness.
Know.
Yeah. You have to ask my husband that.
Lisa Davis is our guest, and we are broadcasting from Roswell, New Mexico, and we're talking about the NUPOC conference, right?
Right. That's what we've been talking about.
It comes up 29th. I'm hung up on the 28th for some reason.
29th through the 31st.
A three-day event in Hollywood itself, in Hollywood and Highland, and that hotel is magnificent, I understand. So, and you do have a rate there, so if people want to go, they can call. And
right, they can make phone reservations through the hotel or log on to the Internet and get the hotel at renaissancehotel.com and just ask for the NUPOC rate, and we're going to give them a great rate, and we are going to have a great conference.
Now, Ann Druffel told me you were one of the up-and-coming people in the UFO community, so I'm going to find out a little bit about you.
All right.
Okay. How did you get interested in UFOs? I mean, you had a religious background, I think.
Right. I do have a Christian background.
Mm-hmm.
Well, my interest in UFOs started when I was a young girl, and I've always been sort of philosophical in nature, and when I would look up into the sky and see the stars and the moon, I would ask my parents, who made all of that? Where did that come from? It's spectacular. Can we go there? Is anybody mm-hmm. else out there? These are questions that I'm sure every child has answered, but I went and took it further and became obsessed with it, basically. I started learning astronomy and science and physics, and it just all blended together. And then, of course, when you look into those things and those subjects, you, of course, come across strange phenomenon, the paranormal, and UFOs. And I was very curious about UFOs. And when I saw the movie Close Encounters of the Fourth Kind, it just basically solidified that this was something that I felt like I really needed to look into.
Have you had a UFO sighting or an encounter or anything?
I have never had an encounter that I know of. I did have a sighting when we left Roswell last year. I did see a bright glowing object in the evening, right before it got dark, at dusk.
Mm-hmm.
And I took pictures of it. I photographed it. I actually sent it to Peter Davenport. And I believe it was a UFO. I'm not sure what it was. I don't claim to know what these things are, what these craft are. But it was a bright glowing object, and it was very interesting. It caught my attention. And, you know, I just have loved looking into this. My field is really the abduction phenomenon. I'm more into the software of the phenomenon, not the nuts and bolts of the UFOs.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the software. When did you first? I was not aware of abductions at first, mainly just sightings.
Okay.
And then all of a sudden, we're talking years ago now. I've been mm-hmm. doing this for longer than you were alive. But
right.
What about abductions? When you first heard about them, what did you think?
Well, I first looked into the UFOs, and that's, of course, the first place you start. And then you go into the abduction phenomenon. It kind of, you get it to a point where you can't overlook the phenomenon. It's so strange. And, you know, I wasn't convinced that the government was telling the truth about UFOs. I have a very skeptical father, and growing up, he is skeptical of government, and I just was thinking, okay, you know, there's got to be something more to this. So when I looked into it, I thought, yeah, this is interesting. You know, I'm not really into aviation or anything like that. So my interest in it kind of was not quenched at that point.
Mm-hmm.
What did interest me was the paranormal aspect of it, which is who's flying it. And then you get into the accounts of the abductees, the strange, traumatic disorienting, very scary situations that they're put in that they recall under hypnosis, or sometimes even without hypnosis, they recall certain events that are consistent with being taken into a craft, a white beam of light, and then a craft taking them. And so I, as a Christian, I've been a Christian about 12 years now, and, you know, I take my religion very seriously. My faith is very strong, and I was thinking, you know, I really have a heart for these people. I want to know what's happening to these people. What are their accounts? What's going on? So I got my hands on every single book I could find on UFOs and abductions. And I like to say that it was kind of like in the movie Close Encounters of the Fourth Kind, where Richard Dreyfuss is bringing all of the dirt in the house and the family is just freaking out like, what the heck is wrong with this guy? It was kind of like that for me. I just jumped into it, tossed it all in my house, and went to town.
Well, have you interviewed abductees yourself personally?
Yes, I have.
Okay. And do you get the same story, or is it...
Sure. We get the same stories. You know, of course, there are leading researchers out there, such as Bud Hopkins, David Jacobs. You know, we have accounts of very similar accounts, some differences, some discrepancies. Not every abduction is exactly alike, but they have very many of the same elements. And it's very curious. Why would they be probing certain areas? Why would they be working with different areas of memory? And it's just a very strange phenomenon.
Well, what do you make of it at this point?
At this point, I kind of have a two-sided view of it. I just started looking into the military abductions that have been claimed, and the...
On that subject, I have no doubt that happens, simply because of the people I've interviewed. And not all of them would have that creative imagination.
I agree. You have to have a very creative imagination to talk about abductions, definitely, or to claim an abduction.
And so I'm sure there are people with the ability to convince you of something that didn't happen. But just the matter of the quantity of it, not the quality, but the quantity of the people I've talked to over the years, there's something going on there, and some of it may be the military.
Some of it may be, right. We're not sure. You know, we can't classify the UFO phenomenon in one area. We have to look at very many different rationalities of what this could be. It could be interdimensional. It could be physical. It could be spiritual. We just don't know. We don't have all the pieces to the puzzle, but we're starting to get a clearer picture by understanding the phenomenon, having the stories come in, and putting them together as a collective and understanding them.
And the thing that puzzles me about all of this is the fact that it seems to run in families.
Generations.
And you wonder what's the deal here, and why. I've been doing this 4 decades almost, and I've never had an encounter, never seen anything, nothing's ever happened. I have had nightmares when I was younger about things, but I've chalked that up to other psychological problems. I don't think it had anything to do with abductions, even though you could make that leap if you wanted to.
Well, and it would be quite a leap. But people do make them, and there are those out there who make those claims, and they absolutely need some counseling and help. And, you know, there's going to be a percentage of people who will come to you who you know need help.
And the whole point is... what do you make of it? I mean, the military's doing it probably to. They're probably running around checking right after the other the UFO people check to see what they were doing.
Right, to figure out what's going on. What are they doing? What is their technology?
And then, of course, the unintended consequences when you deal with any bureaucrat, they take it a step further always. People always have. So then they might be guilty of more violations than they'd like as far as civil rights and invading people's privacy. And so that's one reason when they start making disclosure, some people may be in trouble unless they handle it just right.
Right. Yeah, there's going to be some very interesting fireworks that come out after disclosure. And I have no doubt that the military's involved. I have no proof of it, but I have no doubt that something's going on there.
But there's something else going on besides the military here.
There definitely is. There is something paranormal happening.
What do you think it might be?
Well, you said earlier about generational abductions and how you've seen that they've been in generations, and I looked into that a while ago. And You know, I do read the Bible. I like reading the Bible. It gives me peace of mind, and it kind of gets me in a clear-cut direction of how my life should go. And when you look in the Bible, you look at the generations in the Bible, and most of the people in the Bible who had problems had some kind of generational curse or generational sin in their family. Now, when you get people who are into the occult or who have worked with a Ouija board or who have done channeling, those are all occultic practices, biblically speaking. And when you have that in your history, you are more open. A spiritual door is open for you to be introduced to other spiritual entities, whether negative, positive. I believe these entities could be spiritually negative in nature and harassing people who have that door open, who've never shut that door, who've never learned how to quite close it and have had an interest but never taken it seriously to understand.
So, in other words, to cut to the chase here, you think they might be some sort of, for lack of a better term, demons?
Well, demons, and, you know, you can call this the angel hypothesis, mm-hmm. or you can demonize it. A lot of people like to stick them in the same category, but if you really look into the text when you get into the Bible and the Hebrew, they're totally different entities. But just for the mainstream, it's easier to say it that way.
Lisa Davis is our guest. I'm Jerry Pippin. We're on the radio from Roswell, New Mexico. We come out here quite often, but you've been here one time more than me. You've been here three times,
yes,
I think.
Yes, and I love it here.
Yeah, I was here last year and then came back this year. We probably will be broadcasting from here again because there's lots of people here that are in this field, so
well,
it's
yeah.
just natural.
And the connection is so obvious, you know, with the
yes.
1947 crash, you know, people in the field will come to do their research, and then you've got people, the public, who are just curious and see it as a festive atmosphere. And that's really exciting to me because we're getting people who are curious that
yes.
are actually taking the next step and not just watching the TV and
yeah,
listening.
And no longer are you just preaching to the choir. You're getting people that may come here for the Willie Nelson concert that might find out a little bit about UFOs
That's
at
right.
the same time.
That's right.
And so the reason I brought up Roswell at this point is if we're talking about these abductions all being spiritual in nature one way or the other, how do you explain the crash retrieval things like Roswell, where there may have been victims?
Well, I don't see the phenomenon as being totally spiritual.
Okay.
My view has changed on that quite a bit. After reading all of the evidence, I mean, I haven't read all of the evidence, but I've pretty much plastered my brain with most of it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see it as completely spiritual. I think there's many facets to it. And one of them may be spiritual. One of them may be extraterrestrial. But the spiritual aspect of it is very valid. It's something that needs to be looked into. And the church isn't willing to deal with it. It's too bizarre. It's too fringe. And my pastor used to look for UFOs in the desert. He'd be on LSD looking for UFOs in the desert.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's open to understanding the phenomenon, and so that kind of gave me a foot in the door to where I didn't feel the judgment from the church to look into this.
Well, yeah, in certain situations, like Dennis Balthizer here in town, he belongs to First Baptist Church over there, but he had a UFO seminar right there at the church, and
mm-hmm.
Where they normally have about 20 people show up, he had about 80.
Right.
And so sometimes it is tolerated, but I have many people who, they just don't want to deal with it.
Right. And the church, you know, it's coming around. I must say that it's coming around. I mean, I tell my friends who I go to church with what I do, and they understand the nature of it because they understand who I am.
Mm-hmm.
And they know that I'm serious about it. It's not just something that I'm looking into for entertainment's sake. But I'm looking into it because I want to actually be out there making a difference, bringing the research to the public, to the mainstream, and actually helping the abductees. But the church is coming around, and there are scholars in the field, such as Chuck Missler, Mark Eastman, Bill Alnor, who was at the conference. There are people out there who are trying to make a difference, apologetics, and, you know, hopefully we can get all of us can get on this bandwagon together and come together and put our minds together regarding this phenomenon regardless of our spiritual backgrounds and just be human beings and work together on this and find out what's going on.
So you're open to all possibilities at this point?
Yes, I am.
And there's really, I don't guess, a smoking gun or the absolute proof on any of these bases.
You can't get absolute proof with the paranormal.
Haven't yet.
You can't.
Yeah.
And until we can, that'll be the biggest revelation since Jesus Christ. I mean, you just can't.
So basically, you have no problem talking to people that might draw a different conclusion than you do about
these
things.
Not at all. I have an open mind, and I'm not so narrow-minded as to just say, this is my view, this is what I'm going to believe in, and I'm not going to take what you have to say for a grain of salt. I mean, these people who we're having at the conference, and many of the people that I've met in the field, you know, Rich Dolan is brilliant. He's got some excellent things to say about this phenomenon, and I respect him highly for that. And you know, Steve Bassett, he's out there on the front lines, basically putting his reputation, his life on the lines for his disclosure project, not project, but his idea.
Yeah,
exactly. Uh-huh. And I have a lot of respect for these people.
Well, Steve is almost on a mission at this point.
Well, he is. It seems like a mission from God, yeah, but you just never know. I don't know if he knows that, but he's definitely got some drive.
I think he's aware of that. He's quite a mover and shaker. We've been on Stephen for about 5 years mm-hmm. now. Used to have a lot of fun with him when he was running for Congress here in Maryland. Mm-hmm. I used to call him up every night and get a little report on who would let him debate and who wouldn't.
Oh, interesting.
And things like that.
Right.
And how the other candidates, the mainstream, the Republican and the Democratic candidate in the primary, would react when he would bring up the subject mm-hmm. of UFOs. And it was always very interesting.
Well, you've got to have you've got to not be worried about what people say about you. You've got to not have an ego with that. I mean, dealing with those politicians, boy, that must be difficult.
And he knows his business. He's been doing it for a while. He's mm-hmm. been getting around. And you were at the X conference. It was pretty good, right?
It was awesome. I loved it. It was a highlight in my experiences as researching abductions.
And we talked to Stephen about the carpet episode. I don't know if you know about that or
not. Carpet? No.
The last night of the conference, somebody spilled something all over the carpet on purpose, and it's kind of this graphite or something where you walk on it, it messes up the carpet even more and more and more.
And this was done intentionally?
Well, yeah. There's no way it could have been done accidentally.
Well, that's just ridiculous.
And fortunately, it shampooed out.
Well, good.
And so that didn't cost Stephen,
very much.
In other words, otherwise, I guess you'd had to replace about $20,000 worth of carpet.
Well, and that's not surprising. You know, there's going to be people, there's skeptics and debunkers out there who like what we're doing.
Yeah, Stephen's not, he's not saying it's the government, because it could be just a skeptic or somebody that's rivaling, in the UFO field. Unfortunately, that's one of the problems in this field, is we have a lot of people who go at each other when it's not necessary.
I agree.
And I think that's one of the good things about this conference. If you guys can get along dealing with the subject of spirituality and religion and UFOs, mm-hmm. Then there's hope for all of us.
Definitely. And you know, we've been at these conferences for a while now. And as a Christian, I've gone to the conferences. And you know, you don't have to go and plaster it on your head that you're a religious person. You just have to have common sense, look at the data, and make a decision on where you want to stand. And, you know, we've been mingling together for a while, and I think this conference here in Roswell is going to be a very important aspect of ufology. We can't deny the spiritual aspect of the phenomenon.
Well, it does have a life-changing experience with everyone.
It certainly does.
I have not interviewed anybody that said, well, yeah, I was
kidding. It's usually a very life-changing event mm-hmm. for people, and they want to know more. They want to understand what's happened to them.
And even though it may be an evil force,
possibly,
we're not sure, or it may not be.
It seems to be evil in nature, sinister.
Mm-hmm. It seems to have the opposite effect on many of these abductees. They become more
contactees or
the right contact
experiencers
right they become
Enlightened.
More, yeah, well, they're more new age. I don't know how else to say it. More
That's
feel
a good
good.
way to say
Yeah,
it.
right.
Yeah.
We're talking with Lisa Davis, and we're talking about the theories or hypotheses, as Ann always likes to correct me, Ann Druffel. I'm always using the word theory for her. She says, it's a hypothesis, Jerry.
That's true.
Yeah, we're talking about what's going on in the abduction area.
Mm-hmm.
And to make a long story short, I'm just going to ask you, what's going on, Lisa?
Well, we don't know.
Okay.
We're putting the pieces together. There's elements of spirituality. There's elements of New Age. There's elements.
Talking about abductees, contactees, what's the most evil thing that you've run across?
Or a horror
story or whatever.
Well,
I mean, it's radio. I got to keep my listeners interested.
Okay, well, so I'll tell you a real scary story. No, this isn't something to make fun of. It really is happening, and these people are terrified. One that I can think of in particular is of, you know, you have the basic scenario of the white light coming in the room, and then you have the entities. Well, I've had a couple of people tell me their story where the entities did the experiments right there in the bedroom, and
you see, I hadn't heard that. They always take them someplace.
Well,
stories I have.
From what these people have said, they were there in their room when it happened, and they did the procedures of the mind scan and the you know, removal of tissues and things like that right there. And the I think the scariest part of it is just the fear of what the abductees go through dealing with this afterwards. I had a lady tell me that some of the entities were dressing up in costumes. You know, one was the devil, one was like a ghost, one was a goblin, one was a scarecrow, and they're very distorted. She was telling me they weren't clear, but they were just very distorted figures, and they were all teasing her, and she was just terrified by this. It was almost like she was a child again, and she was having a nightmare. But
well, we've talked about that. Some people, the reptilian concept is that's what people are afraid of, so snakes and scales and things like that.
Right, but the thing with the phenomenon, though, is that the memories are repressed somehow,
mm-hmm.
so that you don't know if this is a screen memory or if this is actual fractions of the memory seeping out. But every experience is terrifying. You've got just terrifying experiences all the way
around.
Well,
I had David Jacobs on the phone here a while back on the air from Philadelphia, and we were talking about it. And regardless of whether it's evil or not, it's not nice to take people and do things
absolutely
without their permission.
Absolutely. In America, you would get put in jail for that.
That's right.
And somebody's husband would beat the crap out of you.
And that's the reason I'm concerned about disclosure from those angles. Lots of people will be laying themselves open for prosecution, lawsuits, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, that's why there's so much secrecy around it.
We'll be back in a moment. This is Jerry Pippin. I'm going to find out about the good things. Maybe she's heard some good things about being contacted as well. And then we'll wrap this up. I want to find out a little bit more about the conference, what we started talking about at the beginning of the show. We want to end up the same way. Well, it's been a fast hour, Lisa.
Yes, it has. It's been great.
What about it? Are there? I've noticed even the people that have been on the air with me over the years that have had contact or been abductees or whatever you want to use the word, the terminology,
mm-hmm.
They all have mind-altering, life-changing experiences,
yes.
And most of it's been good. Some of them have psychological problems, of course, and
mm-hmm.
you would, but so it's not all bad or what do you think?
Well, yeah, across the board, these experiences are life-changing. You don't just have an experience like this and just live your everyday life. You start asking bigger questions. Like when I was a little girl, when I saw the stars and the moon,
mm-hmm.
where is it all from? What's it all about? You start becoming more introverted and wanting to understand who made it all. Why am I here? What is my point in life? What am I all about? And that's an interesting aspect because you've got the entities who are telling the contactees, now not the abductees, Abductees are different.
Yes.
They are victims.
Yes.
Contactees are open and willing to this phenomenon, and they actually enjoy and fall in love with their
captors. And they want to go back and back
right,
and back.
Right, exactly.
And some of them don't want to come back here.
Right, and so some of the messages that they're bringing, I haven't heard of many being of a great future for the Earth. Most of the, even with the contactees, the messages are of a doom and gloom period coming on the Earth like none other. Now, you know, whether it's the end of the world, whether it's the second coming of Christ, we don't really know, but they are very interested in our planet. They are very interested in what we're doing to it. They're very interested in what we are going to make of this.
Let's talk about your conference really fast. Clock's hitting us here. Once again, you're going to get some movie stars.
Yes. We've also got, we've got Peter Davenport coming. We've got, of course, the great Ann Druffel. And we've got David Serrata lined up. He came on last night. We've got Rich Dolan coming. And Steve Bassett.
Fantastic.
So it's going to be a wonderful time.
A great conference. And like you say, you can get some movers and shakers in Hollywood, not only the actors themselves, but the people behind the scenes.
Right.
It's like you have the one producer coming.
Exactly.
You know, that's the whole deal about these things. Get the word out.
Right.
Tell once again the website for our radio listeners where
yes.
they can find out the information. It's the 29th of October to the 31st.
Right, and the website is www.newfoc.org. And we actually have a conference phone number if you'd like information. It's area code 310-514-1595.
And as we say, we have the information posted on our website at jerrypippin.com. Just click on the picture of me riding in the flying saucer with the space egg and driving. And you'll be over there to the UFO files.
And also on my website, on FARS,
okay,
F-A-R-S.
Yeah, I haven't asked you about that. I want to know what that stands for.
FARS is an organization that I started a couple years ago. It's an acronym, and it means the Foundation for Abduction Research and Support.
And you basically, when you contact contactees or abductees, you have a support group, right?
Well, we don't have a support group yet. That's coming.
Okay.
That's coming down the line. They actually contact me through the website, and I can talk to them about what I know about it, give them some insights, maybe refer them to a psychologist. And I have so many ideas for FARS. It's just mind-blowing. And I know it's going to be something...
You shouldn't tell a guy that at the end of the show. You only got about 30 seconds left.
Well, maybe I'll have to come back. Maybe in November we'll talk about FARS. But I definitely have a lot to
work with. Lisa, stop teasing me.
So I'm excited about that. And I really want to contribute to the field and do it in a way that doesn't step on any toes, but still can do it in a scientific and rational way.
Well, it's been a pleasure meeting you, and we hear nothing but good things about you, and that's one of the things we like to do on this show is meet the people that are up and coming, and that's what you are.
Yes.
So thanks very much,
Thank
Lisa
you.
Davis. I've enjoyed it. Our on-location producer has been Roberta Scott. I'm Jerry Pippin. We're in Roswell, New Mexico. Until next time, cheers.